Thank you all for coming. Today, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Canto 6, Chapter 19, verses 10 to 13. Chapter entitled The Push Savana Ritualistic Ceremony. So there's four verses to do. Text number 13 has the purport. So we'll chant that together and read the purport, and then I'll go back to number 10, and then we'll read all the Sanskrit and translations together. Please repeat. Guna Vaktir Iyam Devi Vanyako Gunabhog Pavan Tvam Hi Sarva Shri Yatma Shri Shri Rendriyashaya Namarupe Bhagavati Pratyayas Tvam Aparshrayaha Guna Vakti Iyam Devi Yanyako Guna Bhagavan Tvam Hi Sarva Shri Yatma Shri Shri Rendriyashaya Namarupe Bhagavati Pratyayas Tvam Upasrayaha Guna Vakti Iyam Devi Vanyako Guna Bhagavan Tvam Hi Sarva Shri Yatma Shri Sharindriyashaya Namarupe Bhagavati Pratyayas Tvam Upasrayaha Guna Vyakti Iyam Devi Vanyako Guna Bhagavan Tvam Hi Shri Sarva Shri Yatma Shri Shri Rindriyashaya Namarupe Bhagavati Pratyayas Tvam Upasrayaha. So, word for word, please repeat. Guna Vyaktihi, the reservoir of qualities. Iyam, this. Devi, goddess. Vyanyakaha, manifester. Gunabhuk, the enjoyer of the qualities. Bhavan, you. Tvam, you. He, indeed. Sarvasarira Atma, the supersoul of all living entities. Shri, the goddess of fortune. Shrira, the body, indriya, senses, asayaha, and the mind, nama, name, rupe, and form, bhagavati, lakshmi, pratyayaha, the cause of the manifestation, tvam, you, upashrayaha, the support. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Mother Lakshmi, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the supersoul of all living entities, and the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies, senses, and mind. She also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all such names and the forms and the cause for their manifestation. Please repeat. Mother Lakshmi, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities. Whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the super soul of all living entities, and the goddess of fortune is the form of their bodies, senses, and minds. She also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all such names and forms and the cause for their manifestation. Purport Srila Prabhupada. Madhvacharya, the acharya of the Tattvavadis, has described this verse in the following way. Vishnu is described as Yajna personified, and Mother Lakshmi is described as spiritual activities and the original form of worship. In fact, they represent spiritual activities and the supersoul of all Yajna. Lord Vishnu is the supersoul even of Lakshmi, but no one can be the supersoul of Lord Vishnu, for Lord Vishnu himself is the spiritual supersoul of everyone. According to Madhvacharya, that was a quote from Madhvacharya, if you remember, there are two tattvas, or factors. One is independent and the other is dependent. The first tattva is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, and the other, second, is the Jiva tattva. Lakshmi Devi, being dependent on Lord Vishnu, is sometimes counted amongst the Jivas. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas, however, describe Lakshmi Devi in accordance with the following two verses from the Prameya Ratnavali of Baladeva Vidyabhushan. The first verse is a quotation from the Vishnu Puran. Nityaiva sa Ganga Mata Vishnu Shri Anapayini Yata Sarva Gato Vishnush Tata Veyam Dvijyotama Vishnu Su Shakatyastisras Tasyu Ya Kritita Para Saiva Shri Stad Abhinyeti Praha Shishyan Prabhu Mahan. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, Lakshmi Ji is the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and therefore she is called Anapayini. She is the mother of all creation. As Lord Vishnu is all-pervading, his spiritual potency, Mother Lakshmi, is also all-pervading. Lord Vishnu has three principal potencies, internal, external, and marginal. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accepted Parashakti, the spiritual energy of the Lord, as being identical with the Lord. Thus, she is also included in the independent Vishnu Tattva. In the Kantimala commentary on the Prameya Ratnavali, there is this statement, Nanu kavschit nitya mukta jivatvam lakshmiya shri kitam tatraha. Prayeti Nitya Veti Padam Sarva Vyapti Kata Yinena Kala Kashteti Adi Padya Dvaye Sudo Pitya Ukto Sa Mahaprabhuna Swashishan Prati Lakshmya Bhagavat Advaitam Upastitam Kavchit Yat Tasya Tu Devatam Uktam Tattu Tad Avishta Nitya Mukta Jivam Adaya Sangha Tamastu. Although some authoritative Vaishnav disciplic successions count the goddess of fortune among the ever liberated,
living entities, jivas, in Vaikuntha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in accordance with the statement in the Vishnu Puran, has described Lakshmi as being identical with the Vishnu Tattva. The correct conclusion is that the descriptions of Lakshmi as being different from Vishnu are stated when an eternally liberated entity is imbued with the quality of Lakshmi. They do not pertain to Mother Lakshmi, the eternal consort of Lord Vishnu. So that's clear, that's cleared up. So now we'll go back to number 10.
Praname dhanvava bhumo bhakti pravena cetasa dasavaram japen mantram tatha shrotram udirayat.
One should offer obeisances unto the Lord with a mind humbled through devotion. While offering dandavats by falling on the ground like a rod, one should chant the above mantra 10 times. One should chant the following prayer.
So very nice phrase there, with a mind humbled through devotion.
So the opposite of that is what? With a mind made proud by monism. Shankara's a philosophy. To consider that I am the Supreme Lord is the ultimate in puffed up, is it not? So a mind humbled through devotion. Bhakti mam abhijananti. So by devotion we realize Krishna. We realize our relationship with Krishna. And initially we realize the magnificence of Krishna, Vishnu. Later we can understand Gopal, the darling of Mother Yashoda. But at the beginning we realize Vishnu, the one who lives everywhere, the unlimited Supreme Lord. So that humbles us. In this material world, materialism and impersonalism or monism are brother and sister, if you like. We try to exploit the inferior material energy, which is, and then we think we're superior. That is the blessing of Krishna. He has become, through his energies, the inferior energy so we can dominate. But of course it's illusory. Actually, ahankara vimudatma, we're always under the control of Krishna. But we have this illusory conception that I am the controller of this inferior, impersonal energy. So then when we become a little philosophical, on the basis of our contact with the impersonal, material, dull, unconscious energy, it is natural that we come to voidistic or impersonalistic conclusions, that everything is energy. But of course, as this 13th verse is explaining, Krishna is the energetic. There is energy, but there is the creator of energy. There is the creation, but there's also the creator. There's the maintained creation, but there's the maintainer. But in our puffed up attitude, we don't consider the creator, the maintainer. We consider, put them aside. There's just energy. Let's look for the laws of nature, rather than understand the lawmaker. They're just happening because there was a big bang, and therefore the laws were created with the big bang. And where did the big bang come from? It came from nothing. Well, if you go to the shopkeeper and say, I want a bag of rice, he'll say, how much? That'll be $50 or whatever. They've got no money anyway nowadays. So then there will you say, I've got nothing in my pocket. Oh, that's right, you can pay with that. Nothing means nothing. You can't get anything from nothing, because nothing by definition doesn't exist. So how it can be the source of everything is ridiculous. But under the influence of the Maya Shakti, we grasp these illusory conceptions because it suits our rejection, our attitude of antipathy to a supreme. But through devotion we become humbled. We dedicate everything to Krishna. We give everything to Krishna. And we feel relief. We enter Vaikuntha. We realize that Krishna, he's the overlord, but he's Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's our greatest friend, well-wisher. So this is the benediction of Mahajyena Katasva Pantha, following through devotion. We realize the truth of the matter, that Krishna is our greatest friend. And then we lose this antipathy, this rejection of the Supreme. And we embrace the Supreme as our greatest friend. So this is very important to understand. Those that do not realize the Supreme, they're puffed up, as Prabhupada says. Ankara vimudatma. And therefore they become asses, thinking that they're the controllers. But actually there's only one controller, and that is, as here, that is the husband of Lakshmi Devi, Vishnu and Krishna. So, that's number 10. Number 11, Yuvam tu Vishvasya Vibhu Jagata Karanam Param Iyam hi Proktihi Sukshma Maya Shakti Duratmaya Duratyaya. My Lord Vishnu and Mother Lakshmi, Goddess of Fortune, you are the proprietors of the entire creation. Indeed, you are the cause of the creation. Mother Lakshmi is extremely difficult to understand because she is so powerful that the jurisdiction of her power is difficult to overcome. Duratyaya. Mother Lakshmi is represented in the material world as the external energy. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Guru Parampara, Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Gomata, Tulsi Maharani, Radha Krishna, Lalit Vishakha Ki. Mother Lakshmi is represented in the material world as the external energy, but actually she is always the internal energy of the Lord. My Lord, you are the master of energy and therefore you are the Supreme Person. Your sacrifice, yajna, you are sacrifice, yajna, personified. Lakshmi, the embodiment of spiritual activities, is the original form of worship offered unto you, whereas you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Then to the verse on the board, Mother Lakshmi, who is here, is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas you manifest and enjoy all these qualities. Indeed, you are actually the enjoyer of everything. You live as the super soul of all living entities, and the Goddess of Fortune is the form of their bodies, senses and mind. She is also has a holy name and form, whereas you are the support of all the names and forms and the causes for their manifestation. So the subject matter is here, in this section, is the energy and the energetic, the creator and the creation. So, how to understand? In the Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur clarifies this matter, and if we understand this, it'll be very simple. As it says there, there's the internal, the antaranga shakti, the bahiranga shakti, and there is the jiva shakti, tatastha shakti. So here in this today, in the verse we chanted, it explains that Mother Lakshmi is the name and forms. That means, as Durga Devi, the Bahiranga Shakti, she is providing the material ingredients. However, it also said she also has a holy name, transcendental name, and a transcendental form. So she has a dual function. She creates not only the transcendental energy, but also the material energy by the grace of Krishna. And the analogy given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, just like we have the sun. So the sun, that is Krishna, Swayamrup Krishna. The surface of the sun is like the Vishnu expansions of Krishna. The surface of the sun, the wavy forms on the surface, they are non-different from the sun. So the Son Krishna, Supreme Paramparusha, as Arjuna says in Gita, He is the totality, but He is manifesting different forms in His different leelas, Vishnu and so forth, Baladev, the Chaturvyuha, the other Chaturvyuha, Mahavishnu. He is manifesting these forms, but they are directly the Son. But the Son also creates energy. So that is the sunlight. That is Lakshmi Devi. That is Sri Radha. Krishna or Vishnu, non-different. Radha and Lakshmi Devi, non-different. Just different aspects, different views. And so what? That is the Antaranga Shakti. But then the sunlight, also distant from the sunlight, is the darkness, is it not? This is by way of analogy. So the internal energy is the connected sunlight, whereas the external manifestation of this internal energy is like the darkness at the periphery of the sunlight. And so what is the Jiva Shakti, the third? We have the sun and the Vishnu expansions, that's one. Then we have the energy that is emanating from the sun, and the distance from that ecstatic energy is the darkness of the Maya Shakti. It is a withdrawal of the service attitude that is inherent in the internal potency which is connected to Krishna, or the sunlight which is connected to the sun. And what is the Jiva Shakti? The Jiva Shakti is like little particles of sun. Now when those little particles, like little sparks within the fire, or little particles of sun, if they remain within the sunlight, their real nature is invigorated and manifest. But if they stray into the darkness, distance themselves from the shelter of Swarup Shakti Sri Radha Lakshmi Devi, then they go into the darkness. And this darkness, it does not change their inherent nature, but by the extent of the darkness, it covers their consciousness. So you have Krishna, the sun, Lakshmi Devi, the sunlight, and then the Jiva, the Tadastha Shakti, that can move between the sunlight and his real nature is revealed, or he can wander into the darkness. When you leave the sunlight, then you go into the coldness, your consciousness. You go into misery. You go into confusion. So this is the interrelationship. This is the example given throughout the Vaishnava Acharyas, and particularly developed in the Jiva Dharma. This is the relationship. So the dual function of Lakshmi Devi is there to create the internal energy, or Radha, and then expand. She expands as Purnamasi, Yogamaya. So just like Lord Brahma, you can say, is the overlord of the material creation, bearing the fiery energy. So Lakshmi Devi is expanded as Purnamasi. She is Yogamaya. A subsection of Yogamaya is Brindadevi. Brindadevi, Yogamaya engages all the living entities in their inherent swarup, in the service of Sri Krishna, Vishnu, whereas in the Brindadevi is a subsection. She is the overlady, if you like, the overseer of the conjugal pastimes of Krishna. We sing every morning the Tulsi song, "Please give me residence in the groves of Vrindavan, Brindadevi. Please make me your eternal dasi." So this is our sampradaya, to serve Manjari Bhav, Rupa Raghunath, in that situation. So just in the same way we understand the demigods, they are regulating the material energy, the different departments, as mentioned there in the Vedas, there's 33 million demigods. So similarly, we should understand the regulation of the spiritual energy, Lakshmi's internal energy and Lakshmi's external energy. The external energy is regulated through the empowered devatas, whereas the internal energy and the leela within that internal energy is regulated by Sri Radha and her expansions, Purnamasi, and the leaders of the conjugal ras, the leaders of the Manjaris, the Astashakti, and then there's the leaders of the Vatsalya Bhav, Nanda and Yashoda, and there is Sridham and Subal, Madhumangal, the leaders of the Sakyaras, Pratak, Ratak, the servant mood, Dasya Bhav, Stai Bhav. They are regulating and supervising that, all under the control of Purnamasi, all under the control of Radha. She is like the ultimate guru. Of course she has her guru. Lalita Devi is her guru. She's 14 days older. So she's the expansion of Radha in terms of tattva, but she is always guiding Radharani and chastising Krishna if he misbehaves towards Radharani. So we, just in the same way that through the Brahma Samhita we learn about the creation, we also learn through the Brahma Samhita the spiritual creation. In the Bhagavad Gita now we're studying the 8th chapter, Attaining the Supreme. So there was one verse we were discussing last Thursday, and it is explaining, one should meditate upon the Supreme Lord as the oldest, the controller, the one that knows everything. So that is in reference to the material energy. And so Krishna is guiding Arjuna, he's explaining, yes, you should meditate upon the Supreme Lord, but then through the length of that verse, he gradually gets into, and that Supreme Lord is the origin of everything. He is transcendental. He is the ultimate supreme person. So we should transfer our meditation from the material energy and the structure of it and Krishna's role within it until we find out and meditate and realize Krishna's role within the spiritual energy. And then when we understand Krishna, then we will understand Radha, Lakshmi Devi, who is the guru, if you like, ultimate guru of service to Krishna. Krishna or Vishnu, depending, same. He expands first as, simultaneously as Purusha Shakti, Baladev. And then on the left-hand side, feminine side, he expands as Sri Radha. So, Baladev is Adi Guru. He expands as the Chaturvyuha and regulates the thinking, feeling, thinking, feeling, willing, and action. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Prajumna, and Iruda. They are all dependent on those aspects of Baladev, who is of course created by Krishna, expansion. And then Shankarshan expands down as the second Chaturvyuha, and similarly named, they are regulating the thinking, feeling, willing in the material sphere. Then Shankarshan expands as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Garbhadakshay Vishnu expands as Shiradakshay Vishnu, and he is the super soul of all living entities. So he is Adi Guru. So Guru, bona fide Guru, is representative of Baladev, just like Ramanujacharya. He is, the Ramanujas will very proudly tell you, correct pride, that Ramanuja is Adi Guru, Adi Sesh, he is Baladev. So when we're in the period of sadhana, Guru is representative of Baladev. He is taking us from the material conditioning, liberating us by teaching us sadhana, teaching us sadhya, and we are realizing the sadhya Krishna. But then when we realize Krishna, Krishna will pass us over in our awakening swaroop to Srimati Radharani, Lakshmi Devi. And she is the guru of the transcendent world. Try to understand that. As her expansion, Purnamasi, Subhadra, they are guiding, they are the gurus of Krishna's servants in transcendence. Of course, Radharani and her expansions, Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis, Krishna Das Kaviraj, Lokanath, the Ashtamanjaris, they are also gurus within this world. But particularly they are the gurus of transcendent service in the liberated swaroop, attained position. Whereas Baladev is the sadhana guru, if you like. He liberates you, he gives you regulative principles, he gives you Vaidhi Bhakti, he teaches you Raganuga Bhakti, he teaches you Bhava Bhakti, and then he awakens the level of prema. When you're in this position, Swarup Siddhi is attained, but above Swarup Siddhi means understanding your own inherent constitutional nature and form, and then that is fully developed under the guidance of Sri Radha Purnamasi, and you're engaged in that way, and eternally they're your gurus in transcendence. So this is Vishnu and Lakshmi, Krishna and Radha. This is their positions. This is their function. And they, the Tatastha Shakti is borderline potency, Tatastha. Tata means line, and sta means situated. So he is also known as the Vibhinamsa. Also Prabhupada mentions there in the purport that the dependent and independent. So Mother Lakshmi, Sri Radha, they are always perfectly in harmony with Krishna as their expansions. But with the Vibhinamsa is separated part. But of course, our philosophy given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is achincha bheda bheda, simultaneous, inconceivable oneness and difference. So you may say, if everything is one, how are you separated? Well, the separation is your independent will. This is the important point, that the Tatastha Shakti Vibhinamsa, separated part, but he's not separated from Krishna at any time, actually, because Krishna is the totality of everything, as Mother Yashoda saw when she looked in the mouth of Krishna. What is this jugglery? It's not. My son is a mystic yogi, befooling me. Go and play somewhere. No, but everything is within Krishna. And so we're not separated in any form, but by attitude we are independent. We can choose to be the servitor or the illusory conception of being the proprietor of the material energy. So we can, on that balance point, we can, if we accept Radha Krishna, if we accept servitorship, we get the shelter of Sri Radha. We get Just like in science, there's sometimes a discussion, is light a wave or a particle? Well, they should occur. In Vaishnavism, we know already, in transcendence, yes, Radha is the wave of sunlight and we are the particle. So that particle is taking shelter. Then we get the shelter of Sri Radha and we eternally engage in transcendence. But if we think, no, I reject this supremacy of the Supreme Lord, I am the Supreme, and then we become servitor of our own senses. We try to be the proprietor of the material energy. We forget what the Upanishad says, Ishvasya idam sarva. Everything material and is controlled and owned. He is the owner and thereby he is the enjoyer. So we try to identify ourselves as the controller, enjoyer and proprietor. We try to become imitation Krishnas in the darkness of distance from the sunlight. So that is our foolishness. Here there's mention is the Madhvacharya. There's four great acharyas. Shankaracharya, well actually, we've got time, haven't we? I'll just run through them quickly. Madhvacharya, he came after Shankaracharya, he preached monism. Parinamavad. Parinamavad means Vivartavad also. An illusory transformation of the Supreme. He says that actually the Supreme doesn't become transformed, it's always one. But apparently this energy has been created by an illusory conception. This is not possible to understand this because that philosophy in itself is illusory, not based on truth. After that came Madhvacharya. He's famous like this, Dvaitavad. The absolute, as it's stated in the purport, and the creation are Dvai, two. Then came Ramanujacharya. His philosophy was Vishishtadvaita, qualified monism. He said, yes, everything is one, monistic, but it's qualified by differentiation. Then came Nimbarka, and his philosophy is Veda-Ved. Simultaneously, it's all one, but there's difference, Veda-Ved. Dvaita-Advaita. This duality and non-duality. Then came Vishnu Swami, and his philosophy is Shuddhadvaita. That means purified dualism. And then Lord Chaitanya synthesized the whole progression from these Vaishnava acharyas into a Chincha Veda Ved. So we mention that because in the purport here, Madhvacharya is mentioned, and he is the Sampradaya Acharya of our Sampradaya, and in his elucidation of the Vedanta Sutra and the Vedas, he has minor differences. One of the minor differences that in his philosophy, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conclusions, one of them is that he tends to explain that some jivas are naturally remaining in tabagun, some are naturally remaining in rajagun, some are naturally remaining in sattvagun. Whereas Mahaprabhu, through the six Goswamis, he explained, yes, that is true, they tend to remain in those, but they can progress to different states of bhava, material consciousness. So he defeated, one of his primary reasons was to defeat the monism of Shankaracharya, so he emphasized duality. Then Adiguru Ramanuja came along with his qualified monism, and he said, yes, There's two, but that's the qualification, but it's also one.
And then Nimbarka with his Dvaita Dvaita, he said, yes, it's duality and it's also oneness, Advaita.
And then Vishnu Swami came along with Shuddha Dvaita, pure duality. Is that very similar to Mahaprabhu's philosophy, propagated through the Goswamis, Jiva Goswami in particular, Achincha Bheda Bheda, that everything is one, but it is also variety within that.
So these philosophies of the Sampradaya Acharyas, four Sampradaya Acharyas,
there is minor accent, but they are all brought to perfection by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, just like it is explained if you read widely. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, lectures of Prabhupada, it's also in the Jiva Dharma, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two aspects from each of those four sampradayas. From the Ramanujas, he took, worship of awe and reverence and the necessity of regulated deity worship. From Madhvacharya, he took the complete defeat of Mayavad philosophy, plus the non-difference of the Archamurti. The deity form is non-different from the Supreme Lord. He emphasized that point. And then Ramanuja actually came along and said yes. And thereby, because of Madhvacharya's philosophy that the deity is non-different from the Supreme Lord, then you should approach the deity with great service attitude and regulated worship as a means of approaching the deity. And then from Nimbarka he took the primacy of the gopis' love and the primacy of Sri Radha. And then there is of course Vishnu Swami and his discussion coming into the Shuddha Dvaita, that this is all non-difference between the Lord and his devotees. So in this way, through the six Goswamis, they expanded the Shikshastakam through their writings. The six Goswamis, they have developed the perfect conclusion and given it to us in Kali Yuga. And so we have developed and produced, we have got a great opportunity. In the old days, if you wanted a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you would have to go to someone and have it copied. Now, through the internet, through computers, through book printing, you can get as many Vaishnava literatures as you can read in 100 lifetimes and keep it on your Kindle or on the hard drive of your computer. Back it up because they're not very reliable, especially with the electric current in India. Anyway, you can have so many literatures available in a moment. Here is Sharanga Thakur, he has got 1,000,000 books in the go-down. We should take advantage. The only reason to take birth in Kali Yuga is to read the conclusions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the great Acharyas. There's no other reason to come here. You can't enjoy in Kali Yuga. If you want to, go to the heavenly planets. Down here it's a gross place. But you can get all the Shastras, all the great Acharyas, they come to Bhumandala. And they come to Bharatvash particularly. And they give all these incredible information about which is just touched upon in this purport. And it is available for you. So Chanika Pandit says that if you're a Karmi, if you want to enjoy this world, you should think you'll never die. Because you're performing activities and you think, I'm going to enjoy the fruit in the future. But if you're a transcendentalist, you should always think, I may die at any moment. Therefore, let me not waste one moment. And that means you should focus your attention on Shravanam, Kirtanam, Shravanam. You should hear the great conclusions of the Acharya, of the great Mahajayana, Gatasvapanta. You should fill your mind with those nectarine. If you want more expansion on the topics that Prabhupada touches on this verse, you can read the 1 to 28 verses, particularly 1 to 15 verses at the beginning of the Brahma Samhita. This also, we are familiar with the Brahma Samhita, verse 29. Chintamani prakarasatma sakalpa briksha, so on and right to the end. But verses 1 to 29, they introduce the tattva about Mother Lakshmi or Radha, the energy, the position of the jivas, the expansion of the jivas. Is explaining there, yes, that we are expanded, we are Shakti, we are Jiva Shakti. So we are meant to take shelter of Lakshmi Shakti or Radha Shakti, the sunlight. That is our position. We are emanations from Krishna, but Radha is the sunlight, and we are the particles of sunlight. Our natural position is there. This is all explained in great detail. And the commentary there. And why is it there? Because if you understand that tattva, if you understand, like we're just in summary form explaining the sun, the sunlight, and the particles of sunlight, the jiva, and the darkness beyond the sunlight, if you understand this tattva, then you will understand Golok Leela. Therefore, Lord Brahma, in those first verses, 1 to 28, he's actually number 28, he's explaining the meditation that I'm giving from verses 29 onward. They are my gift to my sampradaya. But he's giving the tattva. So the preliminary section, before you go to Golok Leela, Gokul Leela, is you must understand tattva very precisely. That means you must understand philosophical conclusion. You must be purified by contemplation and discussion with somebody realized in these matters. And that means going to the books and also discussing it with realized devotees. When you understand the tattva, then you will be able to see into the leela. Do you understand? This is a very important point. The sahajiya got jump immediately to the leela without understanding of tattva, and then they speculate upon the nature of the leela. They bring it down to mundane understanding and they put it prakrita sahajiya. They make it similar to the love affairs of this material world. But if you're purified by understanding tattva, then you will have a purified vision of leela. This is very important. Therefore, knowledge of Krishna tattva turns to attraction to Krishna in transcendence. And that attraction turns to prema under the blessing of Baladeva and Sri Radha. So, these are a few points that come from the purport. We'll finish. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, Sri Lakshmi Devi, Sri Radha, Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, Tatastha Shakti, Ki Jai. Any questions? Sorry for my voice. Yes, go ahead. I hope it's difficult. You promised me a difficult question.
So,
say again?
There is certain information that we can seek about and try to understand to the best of our ability with the intelligence we have. Can you use
information?
Information that you gave, and it's really difficult to understand.
A little too difficult?
Yes.
Why is it difficult?
Huh?
The microphone is not clear. It's too much bass and not enough treble and mid-range.
But what I want to say is it might be sometimes difficult to understand for something.
That's why you should contemplate. You should read Jiva Dharma. You can get all these things in expanded form. And of course, Ram wasn't realized in a day. You have to contemplate. You have to read the words of the great Acharya and contemplate them in a devotional mood. And you have to pray to Krishna within the heart, to Baladev, Adi Guru, that you will get the right Siddhanta. And you have to discuss that understanding with other realized devotees. And then it will become clarified. But what is the difficulty? The sunlight are non-different, but they are different departments. The particles of sunlight, they're the Jiva Shakti. Distance from the sunlight is the darkness, the Maya Shakti. And ultimately it's all one unit. What is the difficulty? Does anyone find that difficulty? Huh? Nandanandan, you're a learned devotee. Is it difficult? Look, there's the sunlight, and the particles of sun. That's you and me, the Vibhinamsa. So we should take shelter of Radha, Lakshmi. We shouldn't take shelter of the darkness. We might think, oh, I'll shine brighter in the darkness. No, you'll shine brighter in the sunlight. We should take shelter of Purnamasi, of Vrindadevi, of Vrindavandam. What is the difficulty? Right, Prabhupada used to say. You see, the thing is, try to understand one thing very clearly. This philosophy is the natural, actual philosophy. Do you understand? It is natural for the soul to understand this. It is not an imposition. It is not an intellectual construct that we have to learn and imbibe in our life from the mental platform. This philosophy described by the Vaishnava Acharyas is the description of reality. So when we purify ourselves from the Maya Shakti by Seva Bhav, this philosophy becomes understood naturally. You understand? Just like bhakti, Krishna prema, it's established in the heart. It's natural to the heart. It just has to be developed naturally. You understand? So the period of sadhana means that to focus the attention on the reality as described by the great Acharyas and in the Shastra. Do you understand? And by that attitude of inquiry, realization will come. By the grace of Adi Guru and by the grace of Sri Radha. Do you understand the point? It's natural. So therefore, it is not a matter of intellectualization. It is a matter of realization from the heart. Therefore, the gopis, they didn't study the Shastra, but because of their love for Krishna, they were the greatest realized devotees. They didn't know Sanskrit, perhaps. They didn't know this, that. One donkey once told me, oh, you have to know Sanskrit to understand the Vedas. That's not what Krishna says. Vedanta Krit, Vedavid. I'm known by the Vedas. Yes, but how am I known? How the Vedas known? Bhakti mam abhijananti. The donkey brain. By bhakti, everything is understood. You understand? By the grace of Krishna. Just like when the particle of sunlight is within the sun, light. When it's under the shelter of Sri Radha, Lakshmi, then his nature becomes effulgent, self-effulgent. Right? We understand everything naturally. What does Rupa Goswami say in the Nectar of Devotion? He says, a young boy and a young girl, they associate and that attraction is natural, and then they fall in love. This is a material example. You don't have to train people to fall in love. It comes from the heart. All right? But of course, in the material world, that attachment, that direction of the affection is misdirected. But we want to fall in love and with our Supreme Father. And Lakshmi, Ma Lakshmi, remember the purport, Mother Lakshmi. She is the mother of all the devotees. Radharani, she has Vatsalya Bhav. She is the mother of all the devotees. She is like our mother. So she takes care of us like that. So you don't have to learn to love your mother. So, but you, it's there naturally. So when we contemplate tattva and then the lila on the basis of purification given by the tattva, then we naturally understand everything. Understanding is not rooted in the mind but in the soul. Any other question? You don't have a question? No difficult questions? All right. Oh, we'll finish now. Sorry, we went over time. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Sorry for my rough voice. Never mind. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.